for this morning. So we're going to pray for the preacher this morning as he brings a word. So Father, we thank you for that. I just pray that you bless him this morning, Lord. Lift any tiredness, any weariness of the flesh, anything like that, Lord, that he just be able to bring your word and authority. Lord, that which you've laid upon his heart for the church, we trust in you, Lord, that you bring us revelation today, a word for today. And Lord, I pray that we would hear what it is you are saying. Lift from us any tiredness, any weariness, any distraction, that we would hear what it is you are saying to us personally today and as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Yes, we had a blessed trip, wonderful time just to start scouting out the regions and looking where to live, and that's a scary thing to drive on the wrong side of the road. So I found. Especially when you're trying to make a turn into a T-junction and suddenly get the shock of all the cars coming on the wrong side of the road. What's wrong with them? And they go on the wrong side of the roundabouts as well. But the Lord helped us get this safe and we're back. Good to be with you. Well, this morning, I want to share with the word that in my heart I'd planned something else, but you know, the Lord, he knows what he wants to share with us. So as I was trying to work through that, was the Lord saying, no, I don't want you to speak about this. But I really want you to share this, and I believe the Lord is speaking to us as a church in the critical time that we are. And it's really simple. If I'd give a title to the message, it'll simply be, My Sheep Hear My Voice. My Sheep Hear My Voice. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10, if you would. Turn in your Bibles. So John, chapter 10, I'll read from verse 1. Father, we just pray as we open your word this morning, Lord, that you would just speak to us through your word this morning, Lord. It is your word, Lord, that you've given to us, and we're so grateful that we can open it after so many years that it was spoken even by you, Jesus. And we can read these precious words this morning. And we ask, Holy Spirit, will you come and just speak through our hearts this morning, that we may clearly hear your voice as you speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10 from verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. For all who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, the one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep, which were not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And go to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We'll read up to there. May the Lord bless his holy word. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I think you would agree with me that today in the world there is an awful lot of confusion. There's confusion amongst nations. There is confusion within nations. There is turmoil all over the world. Even countries and allies that were once allies and supposedly friends are sort of snapping at each other and biting at each other's heels, and there just seems to be utter turmoil throughout the world, even in our country, the UK and US, and it's like every day you're thinking, what's going on with the world? It's like everything is just upside down and in turmoil. Well, as Christians, we might say, well, that's the world, you know, that's the world out there, that's just the way it is. They're without God. But you know, sadly, this confusion is in the very body of Christ. It's in church. It's in the Christian world today. You know, the recent statistics I've just drawn up, they say that in 2023, there were roughly 45,000 Christian denominations. By 2026, they estimate that there will be around, it's this year, 50,000 Christian denominations. 50,000 separate denominations, all under the fandom of being a Christian church. The other major religion in the world today, I don't have to mention them by name, have two denominations, just two. And we as Christians have over 50,000. That is 50,000 different churches that cannot agree on Bible doctrine or Bible teachings. Yet, it is one word. It has one author, inspired by one spirit, confirmed by the living word himself. One book, one author, one spirit. Yet 50,000 different denominations cannot agree on this one word. And we wonder why things are so confusing within the church. Why there's so many different messengers. And that's just amongst us as believers. You listen to all the different things. They say, this guy says that, that guy says that. And they have all these different things they believe. Such confusion. Imagine what it looks like to those in the world. They think we Christians are bonkers. The other religions think you're nuts. You can't agree on anything. You keep splitting up. There should really just be one voice, one message throughout the entire world. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet there isn't such confusion. But we see this didn't happen in our modern day era. This started right at the beginning of the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. Division started right there. You know, the enemy tried right from the beginning. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church in the day of Pentecost, and the place shook, and Peter proclaimed and stood up and preached that powerful message. And the people answered and said to him, Peter, what shall we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they did. Over 3,000 in one day, 3,000 in one day came to the Lord. They repented. They were baptized. And they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And full of the power of the Holy Spirit, they did what Jesus commanded. They told others. And they believed. And they repented. And they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And they told others. And they believed. And they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the church of God started to grow at a rapid rate. And it was powerful. Signs and wonders would follow wherever they go. Wherever the word was preached, God was doing mighty, mighty miracles in the church. And the enemy tried everything he did to try and silence the church. He had them beaten. He had them thrown in jail. Now remember a time when his apostles were put in jail. And they were tied down, feet and legs bound. And you know what? They didn't sit there and say, oh dear, what's happened? How am I supposed to preach the gospel now? This can't be right. God must have got it wrong somehow. I'm in jail. I'm stuck here. Woe is me. They didn't. They sat there with their hands and feet bowed, looking around at the prison saying, well, isn't this awesome? Isn't this awesome where God has put us? He told us to preach to the prisoners. We didn't know how to get here. He put us here. This is awesome. And I guess they started to sing. Now God is an awesome God. He reigns over heaven and earth. And as I was singing, I believe God started tapping. The Bible says his heaven is his throne, but the earth is his footstool. And as he started tapping, the place started to shake, man. And the next thing, those chains were gone. And they were free. And the devil soon realized, hang on a second, I can't stop these guys. So he started killing them. He started with someone by the name of Stephen, who was proclaiming the glory of the Lord. This was just an ordinary guy. He wasn't an apostle, but he was someone who they chose to serve as a deacon. And he served the people, but with such power. And when he preached with such power, the enemy couldn't take it. So he had them take him stones, and they stoned him to death. But it didn't stop the church. And as a matter of fact, the church just grew stronger. And the more he tried to kill them, and the more he tried to persecute them, the stronger they got. And so I believe he realized, this is not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm not going to silence by trying to kill them or putting them in jail. Matter of fact, when I put them in jail, they kick up such a fuss, half the jail becomes Christians. The jailer becomes a Christian. And they get baptized. That's not going to work. So I believe maybe that one day he remembered something. You know, one day he was out there and Jesus was preaching, and the Pharisees were listening to him, and there was this demon guy. He was really demon possessed, and Jesus did a mighty miracle by casting out this powerful demon. And the Pharisees looked at this and wondering what the heck's going on. And Satan was there in the ear telling him, you know what? He's done it through Beelzebub. That's why he's done it. It's all evil what he's done. And so they told him, you're doing it by Beelzebub. And Jesus turned around and said to them, no, in Matthew 12, he said to them, he knew their thoughts. And then Jesus said to them, he said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How will his kingdom stand? And I guess he remembered, hang on a second. If I can divide them, I might not be able to destroy them. But I can certainly weaken them. And so we see right at the birth of the church, right at the early days of the church, they already have a problem. And so Paul writes in his letter to Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10. Maybe you can just turn there if you want to in 1 Corinthians 10. Corinthians 10 from chapter 10. We'll just see what he says there. This is the condition. Remember the early church. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter, verse 10. Got that wrong. 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 10. And so he's writing to the church who already he realizes something's going wrong here. And so he says from them in verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by the house of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, each of you says, I'm of Paul. Or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Or was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, right there, there already is a problem. Satan had realized, if I persecute them, it's not helping, it's making them stronger. But what I'll do is I'll start splitting them up into little groups. So he did that. So you had these who said, well, you know what? You've listened to Paul. Man, you know what? I was on YouTube the other day, and I listened to Apollos. Man, that guy's great. You should listen to him. Forget Paul. The other guy says, oh, come on. I listened to YouTube. I was listening to Kephas. I mean, Kephas is great. He's got this amazing anointing upon him. He's got this knowledge of the Word of God. Forget Paul, man. You should follow Kephas. And so it started. And quickly, Paul is in there, and the other disciples had their handfuls to try and bring them back into the unity of the church. Say, hang on a second. There's only one message, man. It's centered around Jesus Christ. Don't run after Paul or after Apollos or Kephas. Let's bring you back into the center gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where the church was powerful. Unfortunately, sadly for Paul and for those apostles, you know, it started there and it never really stopped. Today, there isn't just a Paul or Apollos or Kephas. There are 50,000 denominations that people follow. Each believe that they are right. Each believe that they understand the word correctly. Each believe that they hear correctly. But it is the same word, the same God, same Jesus, and the same Holy Spirit. But the enemy has come and he's managed to sow division. And so the church of God today is very, very far from where it was 2,000 years ago after the day of Pentecost. You see, in those days when they received the word of God and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit and they started to obey his word, God started to multiply the church, and the church grew. It didn't just grow in numbers, it grew in strength and in power. The church was incredibly powerful. It did amazing things. Mighty, mighty miracles were done. People were healed. The dead were raised. The lame walked. The blind could see. The deaf could hear. These things were happening within the church. And it scared the enemy and it scared the governments. And they tried everything in their power to stop the church. And you know, even in those days, if someone would come forward and try and fake something of the Holy Spirit, to try and make out that the Holy Spirit said this and it wasn't the Holy Spirit, they died. There was a husband and wife within a few hours died each other's. Both of them. Because they thought they could deceive the Holy Spirit. Such was the power and the anointing of God upon the church. He did not tolerate anything false whatsoever. You would pay with your life. And so the church grew in numbers and in stature and in power. And in Acts chapter 4 verse 32 we see that the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say of anything that he possessed that it was his own, but they brought everything in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon him. Nor was there anyone who lacked, for all were of all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as they need. They got into such unity that they no longer felt that it was important to own anything because they belonged to Jesus. So they sold their lands. They sold everything they had and they just brought it and laid it at the disciples' feet and said, do with it whatever you want. And they distributed so everyone had. No one had lack. This was a unity of the church and it was a powerful, powerful church indeed. And so the enemy realized this church, with one voice, one message, standing in unity like that is a great, great danger to him. And so he started to sow division in the church right from the very beginning. And look where we are 2,000 years later. The church is scattered all over. The enemy knew he can't destroy it. He can't, by killing them, destroy it. It makes them stronger. But by devising it, he can weaken it. He can water it down. He can make it ineffective. And so we have today, 2026, even as we drove in Belgium and in parts of France, almost every village you go, the first thing you see is a church steeple with a cross. And I'm so glad when I see that. But you know, we drove up and you drove to the church and we kind of thought we'd maybe go in there. But when you look at the church, it's cold. It's dead. The doors are closed. There's no life. There's nothing there. It's become nothing more than a religious symbol of Christianity. Where's the life that I see in the early church? It's no longer there. It is gone. And so we see right throughout the world, in different places where the churches, the big churches are, they're nothing more than denominations or churches in name. And you have different kinds of churches, but nothing at all what we see in the early church. And so the church in general, most parts of the world, when you look even in our country, the Church of England, you go to the Methodist, you go to the church, most of them are empty buildings, surrounded by graves, by death. And inside there's no life whatsoever. This is what the enemy has managed to do by dividing. By dividing, and just as Jesus said, a house divided amongst itself cannot stand. He knew that. And so he separated them into little groups of pockets, over 50,000 of them, all over the world, scattered, and the church becomes ineffective. And so it's become to the point, as it tells us in 2 Timothy 3, it says that in the last days, the church will become powerless. It says it'll have a form of godliness, but it'll deny the power thereof. And so what will happen is the church will say, well, hang on a second. All these things we read about in the Bible, we read about the powerful church meeting, that was just for them. It was just so that God allowed that to give the church a kickstart, you see. It was just for them. It was just for those people who lived in those times so that the church could have a sporting chance of getting up on its feet and surviving. It's not really for today. He doesn't do that anymore. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak like he did in those days so powerfully when he spoke to Stephen, when he spoke to the disciples, and he told them where to go, when to go, what to do, whatever. He even told them, he says, don't even worry when you get to a place in a sticky situation and you're going to worry about what he says. He says, don't worry about that. He says, the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what to say at the right time. But you see, that was for them. It's not for today. It was for them to give him help. Give them a kickstart. But then hang on a second. I just read in the Bible that Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. I want to ask you this morning, are you his sheep? I am. I am a little sheep. And Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice because they know me. Yet we find nowhere in the world today do we see any of these wonders that we see in the book of Acts. We don't see those mighty miracles and the dead being raised and all those things that they did. Yeah, we have some churches in the past have tried to proclaim, and I remember a few years ago there was one supposedly some mighty, powerful revival. This guy went on and telling that people were just touching the TV and they were getting healed, the dead were being raised, and we couldn't believe all the miracles. And anyway, it all turned out to be a lot of nonsense. You find out it was fake. The guy that was leading it was busy having an affair with the lady in the office. And so there's confusion. You often see today some denomination or some church or some ministry grows and evolves through the television and the amount of views they get, whether it's on YouTube, on TV, or whatever the case, and they just skyrocket in fame, and then people start following just like they did with Apollos and Cephas and Paul. They follow them, they flock them, and they listen to them. Only to eventually, time and time and time again, as we hear all too often today, to find out that that very leader has actually, well, many years in his life, been leading a double life. He's been living a sordid life, nothing like the Bible. Now, let me tell you what, if he lived in the early days of the church, he would have died instantly. But today, what happens when they eventually are caught out, they just come and apologize and come and repent and say, they say, sorry, and carry on. Please don't forget to give me your money. Please don't stop sending your money. Just keep sending it in. Don't worry about what I've done now. I've given it to the Lord. I'm all forgiven. Come on. In the early church, they would have died on the spot. Ananias and Sapphira, they thought they could trick the Lord a little bit. It was their own property they sold. They didn't steal it from anyone. It was their own. They could do with it. Paul said to them, the disciples said to them, you can do with your money whatever you want, but don't think you can lie to the Holy Spirit. All they needed to do was say, listen, we're bringing this, but we felt we want to keep half of it back for ourselves, for our children one day, but we're willing to give you half. It would have been no problem. But they went and they said, look at us, we're giving all our money. Instantly they died. That was the true church. That is why people walked in fear of the Lord. They walked in fear of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they knew that they knew this was no game. This was nothing that you can orchestrate or some sort of show that they were putting up. They knew this was the power of the Almighty. And that is why Peter even got angry when he walked along and him and John walked and he saw that lame guy walking and he said, silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, that which I have, stand up and walk. And the guy started walking and leaping and jumping and everyone saw it, and the council and all those politicians, everyone saw it and they knew. Sorry, just want to pick this up. They knew something was wrong. How did this happen? It's impossible. This couldn't have been some trickery. We know this guy's been there for years. So they asked Peter, Peter, how did you do this? And he gets so angry. He says to them, how dare you say, how did I do this? Don't you understand and don't you get it? It is him that you crucified that did it, not me. That was the power of the church. Not what we see today. And so we see many churches today move away. And you kind of think, you get to a point where you start asking yourselves, well, does the Holy Spirit still talk to us? Does the Holy Spirit really still speak to us? Or maybe those sensationalists, maybe they're right. Maybe it was just for then. Because certainly if he's speaking to us, he seems to be, he's speaking an awful lot of mixed messages. Because we do hear so often. This guy getting up and prophesying, the Lord showed me zip, 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 zip. And then it turns out it didn't turn out that way. Just for him to apologize. Oh, sorry, I must have heard it wrong. Never mind, the Lord's now showed me this. To find out he was wrong again. And eventually out of 15 tries, he gets one right. Ah, he must be a prophet anointed by God. Nonsense. In the word of God, he said one spoke, it would have been the end of him. When the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks in truth. He speaks the word of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit does not get it wrong. So we can be sometimes maybe get to the point where you think, when I hear all this mixed messages and I hear this stuff, starting to think, well, maybe the sensationalists are right. Maybe we just don't hear the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're just, you know, kind of kidding ourselves that it is happening. It doesn't happen anymore. But Jesus said, my sheep will My sheep will hear my voice. In John chapter 14, verse 26, he says this further. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. How will the Holy Spirit teach you all things if he no longer speaks to you? Yes, he will speak. My sheep will hear my voice. The Bible goes in great detail in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, teaching us and telling us the wonderful, incredible gifts that God has given to empower his church. He gave him the gifts of wisdom, of knowledge, of faith, of healings, of miracles, of prophecy, of discerning, of tongues, of interpretations of tongues. All these gifts he's given to his church to operate in. And the Bible says these are diverse gifts. They are diverse gifts. They are different gifts to be used in different ways. I think today we've misunderstood it and they've become divisions and not diverse gifts. And they've caused divisions in the church today, where really the church should be operating as one body. And each person in that body, no matter where they are, will have different gifts. Maybe in this gift, in this church, God will give us a gift of knowledge or of faith or of healing. But the church down the road, maybe they have a wonderful gift of discerning of spirits and of knowing foreign tongues and things like that. God uses the church as a body, as one, to work together. But mankind has managed to split that body into 50,000 different pieces, trying to do their own thing instead of coming together in unity and working as one. The danger is now what happens is that we get to that point where we no longer wonder, does the Holy Spirit, we start to rather just shy away from it. Well, let's not rather go there. You know, let's just leave it. We'll just stick around. And. But Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. My sheep will hear my voice. And let me tell you something. If you think there's confusion in the church today, you ain't seen nothing yet. Something has started right now in our day, which I believe is causing more confusion than you've ever known in your entire life. Something is happening right now in our own day, and already it is affecting Christians in a huge way. And that is the birth of AI. AI is so powerful that it can bring up a preacher and preach a sermon that you will look at him and believe it is him and it's not him. He never said a word of it. And every single moment of every single day, every second, AI is learning himself to get better and better and better and better and better. So much so that the guys that made it are running scared. They can't stop it anymore. And so we see so much of, you've seen fakeness, you ain't seen nothing yet. Things are going to become so fake and so close to the truth, you will not know whether it is true, whether it is false. Turn with me to an interesting scripture. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to pick it up from verse 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you've got it there. From verse 8. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. To the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God is busy sending a strong delusion to this world. It is so strong. The Bible tells us another place, so strong this deception will become that if God didn't shorten the days, the very elect would even believe it. But friends, what we're facing today is so dangerous. The deception is so dangerous. What we've seen and heard so far on YouTube and the false prophets and the things like that. Maybe you get to the point and you think, well, I can see right through that guy. He's not going to fool me. But let me tell you, when AI comes into the picture, he is so powerful that a deception's going to come. You're not going to know what is true and what is not. And the only way, now more than ever, it is time for the church to know that Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. We've got to understand that. We need to know that. That he speaks to us. Remember when he spoke in John chapter 10, he explained, he said that when the hireling comes, when the false one comes, my sheep will not listen to him. They won't. because they know my voice. He speaks to us all the time. The problem is we have a problem with listening. And if we spend our time listening to things on YouTube by various people, and we listen to this, and we listen to that, and we listen to this, how are you going to know when he speaks? How are you going to know what is the truth? How are you going to be able to discern and recognize his voice when you're hearing 1,000 others? When Jesus is telling you, my sheep will hear my voice because they know me. You know him through this. You know him through his word. And when you spend time in his word and you study and look in his word, then when he speaks, it ties up with his word. And suddenly you start to realize, hang on, this is Jesus speaking. And it doesn't have to be word for word out of the word, but it immediately lines up with his word. And you recognize it because it's familiar. Because that's the voice you've been listening to, this one. But if you want to listen to 1,000 out there, how on earth will you ever know when he speaks? Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice because they know who I am. They won't listen to a stranger because they don't know his voice. But when you've been listening to 1,000 strangers, how will you know the voice of the shepherd? But when you take his word, because this is his voice, this is him speaking to you and me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we spend time in his word, we begin to know it. And we begin to know him. And we know what he's like. And we know what he does. And so we know the power of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does, and he leads. And so suddenly when we come to a place and they say, this is the Holy Spirit, and you see people jumping around like monkeys and carrying on and doing funny things, and your spirit just says, hang on, I've never seen that in the word. Do you understand? You can hear his word. You can know his word. Because it's in you. And you hear it. And you can know what is false. And then you come to a place and something in your spirit just gels, and you realize, wow, this is God. Why? Because you know his voice. I believe the Lord is saying we need to get back to his word. We need to understand. We need to have that close relationship with him every single day that we can hear his voice. Don't worry about what other people say out there. Look at what the Word of God says. Spend time, listen to his voice. So how does he speak to us? Does he speak to us? Of course he does. Jesus said it. My sheep will hear my voice. The Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you. He will even tell you what to say in the most difficult of moments. Don't even worry what you have to say. He will tell you what to say. But if you want to know what to say, you've got to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit. You've got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're going to get into a tricky situation, and the time is at that point you need to know, what does God want me to say right now? Sometimes you face someone at work, maybe someone in the street, and you say, you get this prompting, you want to speak to them, or they say something, they ask you a question, and you think, ooh, what the heck am I going to say now? That's when you know, you need to know and be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to say? And he'll be right there to tell you. But you've got to know his voice. You've got to know his voice. How does he speak to us? Well, first and foremost, it's not a feeling. I think sometimes we can be misled by thinking it's just kind of some sort of emotional feeling. That I feel good or I don't feel so good, whatever the case may be. No, it's not the feeling. It is knowing in your spirit. You've got to get this. It's not just a feeling that you think you're right. It is a knowing that you know in your spirit that you're right. It is the Holy Spirit that is now witnessing with your spirit. That is the truth. That's what the Bible tells us, doesn't it? That his spirit witnesses with our spirit. We are human beings, and we're stuck in a body. But this body of ours has a body, which you obviously can see. It has a soul, and it has a spirit. These three. In 1 Corinthians 5:23, it says this, it's now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Now this body is pretty obvious what it is. Some of us, this body gives you a lot of trouble. It gets shaky, it gets creaky. And it makes all sorts of noises you never knew it even had parts. Especially if you walk down the stairs quietly at night. Think it's the stairs creaking. You find out it's not. is you. It operates in a physical realm, this body. It operates with the five senses they taught you. It operates with sight and taste and touch and smell and hear. Now, some of us, when you get old, like me, some of those senses don't work so good anymore. Some of the ears don't work so good anymore. In my case, my smell doesn't work so good anymore, which is not always a bad thing. Sometimes these senses don't work. That's how the body works. It works through those five physical senses that you know about. That's our body. It operates in that realm. But our soul within us, that is our self-consciousness. That is you. That is the true you. When I look at Jackie over there, I see Jackie sitting there, sitting all posh and proper. But I can't see Jackie. Because Jackie's inside there. I have no idea what Jackie really looks like inside. That's her soul. That's who she is. Your soul is who you are. That's who you. That's what you think. That's your emotions. That's what you feel. That's who you are. That's your soul. And that operates in the intellectual realm. It operates up here, isn't it? Right. Your soul will tell you, oh, I like this, I like that. You know, I like rugby, I like football, I like this. Your soul tells you these things and it tells your brain and then you go do things because your soul is telling you the senses that you like. And so your soul is who you are, what you like, what you see, what you feel. That's your soul. But then we have a third part, which is the spirit. And it is the spirit that talks to God. It is that spirit that was lost at the fall. That communication with God was broken. It is that spirit that died, that severed the communication with God, that Jesus had to come and restore through his blood, as we remembered this morning. And that is why Jesus said, you need to be born again. And when the guy couldn't understand it, he said, you need to be born of the Spirit. Your spirit needs to be reborn. And so as a believer, your spirit is now alive because you were born in Jesus Christ. When you were born again, this body didn't change. It's maybe still creaked when you come out of the water. Now, Jesus is able to fix that. But somehow this body didn't change when you were born again. It stayed exactly the same. My head is still gone. Your soul is your soul. But something in you has risen up, and that is the Spirit. And it's that Spirit that talks with God. And that Spirit is deep within you. Remember what Jesus said in John 7. It says in the last days, that day, he says, at the great feast, he came out and he stood and he cried. And he said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And then he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture have said, out of his what? His belly will flow rivers of living water. And then it goes on to explain, he's actually talking about the Holy Spirit. So anyone who believes, and you come to Jesus, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, will start to flow the Holy Spirit. That's what he promised. Jesus never said, it'll come and it'll start to flow out of your brain. And you'll have all these wonderful thoughts. He says, now out of your innermost being, out of your belly. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, in the King James Version, it says this. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You write that scripture down and go check it for yourself. It's Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Look at that. It's like a light shining in your own soul, as it were, searching the inward parts of the belly, of the heart. That's what the Spirit of God does. So it is the Spirit of God that is within us. And so the Holy Spirit now communicates by witnessing with our spirit. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, the Spirit of God, when he talks to us, our spirit witnesses with his spirit that it is true. So when God starts to tell you something, if you know his voice, because you know his voice, because you've listened to his voice as it is written, And you know him, as he says, because they know me. They will know my voice. And so he speaks. And now you recognize it because of this. And so your spirit and the Holy Spirit join together. And the light bulb goes on. Ah, this is the Lord speaking to me. This is the Lord. And suddenly you know that you know this is the Holy Spirit. Now believe where we are today. God wants to talk to you and to me. God has put us in a position where we are today, folks, where we are inundated with falsehood. And the worst is yet to come. Believe me. And if we don't understand and we don't realize that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and to me and we're willing to listen to him. But in order to listen to the Holy Spirit, you've got to be tuned in. You've got to be tuned in to his word. You've got to know him. You've got to know him. You know, if someone has an accusation against someone that you know well, maybe your child or your husband or your wife or whatever the case may be, and they said, you know what, I saw, so your husband or your wife, I saw him as a drunkard down the street, wobbling over there, cursing. You say, what? He's never drunk in his entire life. That's not who he is. Why? Because you know him. You know him. And if you know Jesus, if you know his word, you will know his voice. You will know his voice. And I believe the Lord is telling us as a church, we've got to understand this and get a grip of this. Because it's so easy in the confusion out there when you hear so many people say, I believe the Lord has told me, the Lord has showed me, blah, 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 and they carry on, and then you find out it didn't happen. It wasn't as the guy said. So I don't really know, is it the Lord speaking to me or not? But we need to know him so we can hear his voice. We need to understand what he's saying. We need to allow him to speak to us. Folks, at the time that we're going in, I believe it is so, so relevant. You can pick up anything today. Look at a clip. Look at a tube. You can. I saw something the other day. It was a worldly singer singing a most incredible, beautiful gospel song I have heard. And I was touched. I thought I didn't know this guy had even become a Christian. When did he become a Christian? It's marvelous. And I was so excited till I read the fine print at the bottom. And it said, this is AI generated. It is not the original. There's a time coming upon this world, my friend, you won't know what is right and what is wrong. There's a religion upon this earth and upon this world that we have to be careful of. We have so much deception, and we'll only know the truth. It's only the truth that'll set us free. And the truth is in here. We can only know and hear his voice if we know him. We know what he's like. His disciples knew him. They knew what he was like. So they could hear his voice. They knew exactly when he spoke, it was him that spoke. He didn't speak even to Paul. He spoke. Paul, he spoke audibly down the road, but the guys around him couldn't hear his voice. They just heard a thunder and all sorts of noise and they were scared. Paul heard him. And many times when he spoke to his disciples, he didn't speak with an audible voice. He spoke here, inside. But they were so knew him so well. They'd been with him every day for years. That the minute he spoke, they recognized his voice instantly. And those who were saved, the same thing happened. Until the enemy came and started splitting them apart. And started dividing them into little groups. And suddenly that voice becomes confusing now. Because I'm not hearing the same message anymore. I'm not hearing the same thing. This is what Paul was trying to tell them in Corinth. Come on, guys, get back. It's got nothing to do with Apollos or Cephas or anything or me. It's to do with Christ. Him alone. That's it. That's the message. So I believe God's calling upon his church to get back to the position where we can listen and hear the voice of the Lord, because he's going to lead us. He's going to lead us in a way that we need to be ready to move. But we need to hear him clearly. We need to know his voice. You know, in Revelation, in Revelation 2, when he talks to the churches, every time he talks to the churches, he says this: he who has a ear, let him hear what? The Spirit is saying to the church. And I've always read that after reading that, it's like he's re-emphasizing the message that he's just sent to the church. And I suddenly realized, no. Above that message that he sent to the church, he's saying to the church, now church, you need to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. Jesus has given you all the warnings to each and every church. He gave a letter and a warning and a condemnation and told them what is right and what is good and what is wrong and what they need to fix. And then he says to them, and you need, if you have an ear, hear to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. In other words, fix these things and now listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. You see that? And that's what he's saying to us. When things are wrong in your life, fix them and now listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he's telling you what to do next. Because he's going to guide you. He said he will guide you. That's why he sent him. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us and guide us every single day of our life. And he's waiting to do that. And he is doing it. The trouble is, we don't always listen. And when we do listen, we have too many other voices out there, so we can't really say, is this really him? Is this really him? Is this really him? You know, really, I believe we should be in such a time that if you walk down a street and you don't know where you are, you could simply ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you, turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right, and you'll come straight to the place you want to be. He'll do it. But we need to hear his voice. I'll next week hopefully carry on if the Lord allows me to. We'll go into more depth into how the Holy Spirit truly speaks to us. What is the issues that we can't hear? Just as an example, one of the things that I see in the Bible of David. What did David always do? Oh, my soul, worship the Lord. My soul, you will worship the Lord. He spoke to his next week, hopefully we can look at our soul and see there's the problem. It's our soul that often gets in the way. It's David's soul who often got downcast. And what did he do? He spoke to his soul. How did you do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And when your soul is downcast, you can say to him, oh, my soul, you need to get up and start rejoicing in the Lord. You need to get up and praise his holy name. That's when the Holy Spirit is controlling your life. If not, when your soul goes down, you go down and you stay down. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help us all. We can hear his voice in these days. Amen. Dave and Jill, I don't know if you've got a song for us to lead us in that as we come together. As they come forward, let's just bow our heads. And Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. That you have come and you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us, to be within us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to lead us, and everything that we do, that you're here to lead us. But Father, we pray this morning, Lord Jesus, help us above all things that we hear your voice. You told us in your word that you, our sheep, will hear your voice, and we know we hear your voice. But Father, forgive us that sometimes, Lord, we maybe have listened too many things out there, but not to your voice, your word. Help us to look at your word. Help us to read your word. Help us to hear your voice as we read your word, that we may hear your voice and get to know you as you are, that whenever you speak to us, we will know that we know that we know this is you. It is your precious voice. Help us this, with this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand.
Amen, amen, yes. We must hear the Lord's voice. He is our shepherd. trust in Him alone.